The heading for our discussion this morning is Fundamental Principles of Chanting the Holy Name, and our primary frame of reference for this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of Srimati Shikshastakam. As I mentioned already, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajana Rahasya has detailed how these eight verses of Mahaprabhu are meditations upon and are disclosing the stages of bhakti up to the stage of prema bhakti in its topmost stage of Srimati Radharani. So, by combining, a meditation is by combining that which brings inspiration to the soul with the practice itself, like we were using this phrase, chanting from the heart or chanting with feeling. This is to help us go to another level of chanting besides dutiful chanting with feeling. It's inspired by and guided by great personalities who have those feelings and understand and can impart, they're empowered to impart. So Mahaprabhu certainly is empowered. He's the empowerer to go to the next level, of the chanting of the holy name up to the stage of love of God. So these fundamental principles are enshrined within Shikshastakam, and we're going to make a little attempt in the limited time that we have to go through hopefully the first three, and then later today the fourth of the Shikshastakam verses. So hopefully this sound is going to work. It works. Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the deliverer of the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. And chanting goes along with teachings, or teachings go along with chanting. And so these are the teachings, the only teachings known that he wrote. And naturally they're being only eight in number, they're packed with many, 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 many dimensions of teachings. So, according to, we'll go through this verse with the assistance of this nice PowerPoint presentation, with Prabhupada's voice in the background singing, very meditative. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this first verse of Shikshastakam establishes the first three stages of bhakti: preliminary faith, association with sadhus, and the execution of bhajan, the chanting itself. So that's the chanting itself is inspired by the glories of the holy name. So we're going to see and hear the glories of the holy name. So Mahaprabhu left us just these eight verses. And his mission and his precepts are enshrined within these eight verses. So it begins, the final line, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. By this Sri Krishna Sankirtan, glory in the world is established. And it starts with the cleansing of the heart, Chaita Darpana Marjanam. For many years together, dust has accumulated on the heart, dust meaning material contamination or coverings. And when we want to go to God or have some sense of who is God or how to approach Him, like looking through the window on the right side back there, there's so much dust you can hardly even see what's on the other side. You see a handprint. But what's on the other side? It's hard to see. So that needs to be cleansed if we're going to perceive. Because otherwise we're it's filters. We're seeing imperfectly. Just like Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. As a fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, similarly, the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust, in which his pure consciousness is obscured. Now, each of these, we want our consciousness. The human form of life is an opportunity awarded by nature to achieve the fullest possible state of consciousness. But according to the modes of nature, consciousness is covered in differing degrees. So, mode of ignorance is the greatest covering. Mode of passion is less, but still great covering. And even the mode of goodness is covering. Consciousness is covered by in different degrees. When consciousness is cleansed, then one can realize one's actual identity. Jivair Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. The real identity of a living entity is that he's the eternal servant of the Supreme. Even the King of Heaven becomes covered, what to speak of the other rest of the residents of heaven, what to speak of the residents of Earth planet. And it's so many uncultured, uncivilized kinds of behavior that we're exposed to all the time. The modes of nature are so strong. But when consciousness is cleansed, this is one of the glories of the holy name, it cleanses the consciousness. Mahaprabhu said, "Know from me that chanting of the holy name is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can become freed from all undesirable habits." Interesting picture to go along with that message. "By congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence and purify the unclean heart." Chaita Darpana Marjanam. Now, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. There's Agni and there's Davagni and Mahadavagni and Bhava Mahadavagni. Fire and a big forest fire and a big forest fire. Nirvapanam. The Sankirtan can destroy or put out big forest fire. the forest fire of material existence, repeated birth and death. So Prabhupada would often describe, you can't take buckets of water and put out a big forest fire, or even get your big fire trucks that have huge supplies of water and big hoses and it doesn't stop the big forest fire. Fly into helicopters and drop water like your rain cloud. Doesn't stop the forest fire, no matter what. But there's one thing that can stop the big blazing forest fire. Downpour of rain from clouds bearing water, and the forest fire is extinguished. So the cloud-like condition of the holy name pouring down the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So in this is a sense that we're not able to save ourselves from this material existence, but the descending mercy of the Supreme Lord, specifically meant for this age, coming in the form of the holy name, can rescue us from this condition. Try material arrangements to solve the problems of this material existence. It's an endless, it's not just this lifetime, or, you know, for a stretch of this lifetime. It's endless. There it is. Just chant Hare Krishna. It stops the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. Or there it goes. The forest fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. Then, so that's two. Chetadarpanam marjanam bhava maha dhavagni nirvapanam. Shreya, there she is. Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam. It spreads the benediction. It spreads the rays of the benediction moon. Did you see the moon this morning? Whoa! Awesome. Full moon. Looked like the sun. Almost. Full moon. And when the full moon shines, the lotus is open. So the white lotus of good fortune is opened by the cooling moonlight. And thus, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam, it increases, it expands the white lotus of good fortune. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon in this dark age of Kali. It's something like Rupa Goswami's description of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description of the beginning stages of bhakti, when like a little plant comes out of the ground, the bhakti creeper comes out of the ground, and it manifests as two leaves, Kleshagni and Shubhada. Kleshagni means the same as Bhava Mahadavagni, the Nirvapanam. It destroys the sufferings, because the sufferings are illusion and illusory life. Ignorance is the root of all suffering. So it destroys that suffering and it brings in Shubha, auspiciousness. So just from chanting, one can be a very unfortunate person, but from chanting, one's life is made filled with fortune. Vidya vadhu jivanam. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge, or the wife of all education, like a young bride chaste and devoted to transcendental knowledge, following behind the chanter. This awakening of transcendental knowledge takes place automatically, just like it's described in the Bhagavatam. From bhakti, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayat Haitakam. Causelessly, knowledge awakens. Chanting has that effect also. Anandam Buddhivardhanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Prati Padam Purnam Purnamrita Svadhanam. At every step it enables one to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Pratipadam. Sarvatma Snapanam. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone, enables one to taste the full nectar at every step. These are various translations that Prabhupada has made of these Shikshastakam verses. Sarvatma Snapanam. It is purifying for all souls. It cleanses the mind and heart, and it purifies all souls. Even the tigers, the monkeys, the lions, the elephants, the deer, the birds, purifying all souls. From the Brihat Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra in Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva says, Rama, Rameti, Rameti, Rama, Rame, Manorame. I chant the holy name of Rama, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. Sometimes people ask, how come Ram went to worship Lord Shiva? Tell them this one. Go ask Lord Shiva. There's another answer too, but that's a nice answer. Even Lord Shiva derives satisfaction, great happiness. It's purifying for all souls at the same time. It's so easily approachable, so simple. Little child can perform. They like to perform. And very simple person can perform. Anyone can perform. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Okay, so for sake of conserving time, I'm not going to go through all the other ones like this, although it's very nice. What's being established is we should chant Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And in any circumstance, whatever stage of consciousness, whatever piety, impiety, fortunate, unfortunate, wealthy, poor, educated, uneducated, any age, any gender, any nation, any color, anything. Just be a spirit soul. And you're eligible. Chant the holy name. So, maybe I will go through these. So the process of chanting, the mandate to chant, or the enthusing of Mahaprabhu's audience when he's speaking this first verse of Shikshastakam, it's establishing the process itself. And the next, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this line of the stages of bhakti, is the stage of anartha nivritti. I was thinking this point. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, listen carefully, this is subtle, that unlike a plant, so you have a seed, and then the seed sprouts, and so the seed is no longer there, but now it's a plant, little baby plant, then boop, comes through the soil, then two leaves, and then you know, smooth side and rough side underneath, and then more leaves, and it goes through stages of growth. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this bhakti creeper is different or is unique. And it's something that you can't even get your mind around. Like, imagine something that each of the previous stages are included in the next stage, but the next stage is what's prominent, but the previous stages are included. Think of a creeper like that one. That's what the bhakti creeper is. So it's not like, you know, move from this bucket over to that bucket over to that bucket or something like that. It's an evolution such that each of the previous stages of prominence is included in the next one. It's like the unfolding of the rasas also. What's in the previous rasa is included in the subsequent rasa with some additional dimension or component. So, in the bhakti process, similarly, so these glories are there and they're felt. And I was thinking to do a little exercise, kind of like break the mood, but establish it strong, more strongly. So get ready. I'll let you know. You'll figure it out. I wanted to explain about how to, well, several things. How to take, how to meditate on Shikshastakam, or how to meditate on something that's inspirational about chanting, while chanting, in such a manner that you don't get distracted from chanting while you're trying to direct your mind to something that's inspirational about chanting, like, in this case, Shikshastakam. But I'll explain it, and then we'll do a little exercise. The one that's supposed to go at the end will go now. You'll like it. So, what not to do is your mouth is going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and over here your mind is processing something that's separate from the chanting of the holy name. That's what not to do. It's like, you know, what we do almost regularly, habitually, because we're habituated to let our mind try to figure things out and, like, you know, get our path forward and then start going there. And a little bit the intelligence is directing the mind, but largely the mind is like, you know, zoom, zoom, zooming along the path. I'm in charge. I've always been in charge. Who are you? Hey, move over. I'm in charge. So we don't want to do that. But we do want to go further on the path of bhakti. And so rather than just chanting, we want to take that which will inspire chanting in such a way that Mahaprabhu has guided us to be inspired. So it's in the foreground is chanting, and as a nurturing component, it's like adding, you know, it's like watering tulsi. Tulsi is what we want, so we're watering tulsi. We're not getting our attention away from what we want. We're adding drops of nectar of Mahaprabhu's instructions, which will purify us, purify our intelligence, because the intelligence is meant to direct the mind. Right? That's from Bhagavad Gita. The There's matter, and above matter is the senses, and above the senses is the mind, and above the mind is intelligence. So if things are in proper order, which they usually aren't, intelligence is giving direction to the mind. And then the mind gives direction to the senses, and the senses are acting upon matter. That's called alignment. That's where things are improperly aligned. And commonly it's the other way around. The senses are all over the place. Hey, I want this. And the mind's, wait a minute, there's too many demands here. This sense wants that. One at a time, calm down. Hey, intelligence, come over here. Help me with this problem. I got to figure out how to take care of all these demands of all the senses. Oh, yes, I'll take care of it for you, sir. You're in charge. And it's upside down. It's chaotic. But yoga is the mind must be directed by intelligence. And these are intelligent instructions to the mind from the intelligence. And we nurture the chanting, because it's the holy name that we're giving our attention to, by these nice instructions. I'm going to say one other thing about this. Where does intelligence get its direction from? Answer: Supersoul. Krishna is really in charge, or, you know, above the soul, above the senses is the mind, above the mind is intelligence, but above them all is the soul. And where does the soul take direction from if it's properly situated? I'm going through this little exercise because we'll do it again and do it again. It's how to grow our Krishna consciousness or our effective chanting in ways that Mahaprabhu, by fundamental instructions, has taught us. We need to direct the mind. But we have to have proper intelligence to direct the mind. Because otherwise, we may direct the mind to the wrong place. Or we may think we're directing the mind and actually we're being directed by the mind. So we need shelter in buddhi, spiritual intelligence that gives direction, nurtures our activity of proper chanting. And driving it all is the soul. Because the soul, without the soul, matter is dead matter. In fact, it is dead matter. It just appears to be animated because of the presence of the soul. And the soul's presence is understood by consciousness. So what we're doing, what Mahaprabhu is doing, is showing us how this human form of life can be used to achieve the highest attainable state of consciousness. That's what the human form of life is meant. And the form of life is not just the gross body, it's the mind and intelligence properly directed. So this is the direction to chant. So now we're going to do a little exercise that will show. It's an alignment exercise, but it's a meditation exercise that's like how you can take Shikshastakam, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it, and help advance your chanting. Not just, here's some knowledge over there, speaking of gaps, here's some knowledge over there, we recite Shikshastakam, and then we do our chanting the same way that we did the chanting, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago. We just like learn some more information over there. We can chant Shikshastakam. There's a big gap between what we know and what we're experiencing. So this is close the gap exercise. Let the Shikshastakam give us guidance how to nurture our chanting of the holy name. So when another japa retreat we did, I'm just going to say it this time, and then we'll do another exercise related. The mind can be directed. It's not impossible. The mind is belligerent and very unruly and restless. We can direct the mind. We did some exercises the previous japa retreat of a meditation where you close your eyes and think of something. We can, you know, suggest different things you can think of. You can think of your room where your computer is, and everyone's familiar with that. Or, you know, your refrigerator at home, or, and you go and you open the door of the refrigerator and you look inside and you see some orange juice. And your mind can take, you can direct your mind. So then it's possible to do that. And you can experience, it's like dreaming, your mind does something, but you can direct the mind. Then we had another exercise of while chanting, so we just like chanted together in unison, and with the preview of while chanting, with your eyes closed, think of your deity at home, or your deity at the temple, or Radha Damodar on the altar, but with your eyes closed, and imagine yourself before your deity, chanting. And you're chanting for the pleasure of your deity in your home, or at the temple, or here. Although it's just, it's not, you know, the door is open so we can see Radha Damodar, but if it was in your mind, it's quite possible. And we've done that, did that at the last japa retreat in Sharanagati, and one of the devotees a year ago said, he chanted his whole 64 rounds that way because we were, you know, up in the country, up in a valley within two mountain ranges and a big lake, and it was so he just chanted his 64 rounds with his mind upon his deity, and as if he was at the altar at his home chanting before his deity. He said it was ecstatic. It was easy. And then he shared with me that practically the whole rest of the year, his chanting was made like that, so nice, by that very same exercise. It works. We can direct the mind unto Krishna. And so, that's the preamble for a little exercise. And one of the reasons, not one of the reason why Prema Tarangini is helping you with these exercises is she has attended several japa retreats, like, you know, more than a handful of them, with very, very capable people directing them. So it's like entered into her being, and it, from that place it's easier for her to share. So that's why she's being called upon. So, go ahead. Yes. Deeply.
Have your spine straight and relaxed. And take deep breaths. Feel the heaviness of your body. Feel the ground beneath you, Mother Earth supporting the weight of your body. Now, I'd like you to turn your attention to your heart. Please visualize the form of Krishna that attracts you the most. Your worship of the Lord. It can be your deity, it can be some other temple deity, it can be a picture, but your worship of the Lord. Krishna is in your heart. Look at Krishna's beautiful smile, his reddish lips, his curly black hair, his beautiful lotus eyes. He's looking at you. So much love waiting for you. Krishna's always in your heart. He knows your thoughts, your worries, your anxieties, all your desires, and he knows your deepest longing for him. It's always there for you. Now, imagine the worship of the Lord steps out of your heart and sits in front of you. Just imagine he's right in front of you right now. He's sitting in front of you and very eagerly waiting to hear your chanting. Now, you can begin chanting at your own pace, very softly, to your most worshipable Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Continue to chant the name of Krishna, to Krishna. Yeah. Krishna is listening. Krishna is listening to your heartfelt calling. Krishna is not different from his name. Thank you. with your eyes still closed, just sit for a minute in the presence of the Lord in the heart. Please repeat after me. My dear Lord, please accept me.
Please accept me.
Please accept me.
Do not ever leave me.
Please accept me. Now you may invite Lord Krishna back into your heart. He's always there for you. He's always listening to your chanting and to your heartfelt callings to be with him, to unite with him. Please bow down your head to him. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes slowly.
Some sharing? A little bit?
So, you can take a few minutes to actually just journal your experience. I can see that some of you have a very deep experience. And just write your thoughts when they're still very fresh. We'll take 2 more minutes. Thank you.
We can stop now. If a few devotees would like to share their experience.
This was a really wonderful experience for me. I feel that actually I have a very new perspective about my deity, Jagannath. This meditation in particular helped me have a more complete experience of the please accept me prayer. Because I used to always wonder, I'm going like this, but am I able to experience the reciprocation? But when I was meditating on the deity form of Lord Jagannath, to me it appeared that he was eagerly inviting me back with his outstretched arms. So that gave me a very complete experience of this piece, etc. So, Guru Maharaj, I feel very grateful to you and Mataji who was assisting me here for empowering me to have this very wonderful and intimate experience. Thank you.
Please accept me more really touched me, because it really helps me leave behind the, you know, the things that take my attention away from Krishna, you know, the unnecessary stuff. The other thing was, I understand that it's not just by me chanting the holy name, I'll experience the holy name. Please accept me brings me into the mood of, you know, calling out helplessly. In spite of all the disqualification I got. So that was a nice experience.
This 5-7 minutes of chanting was one of the most relaxed chanting that I have ever done in my all my life that I've chanted. Usually I try to close my eyes and chant, but I have to put so much effort in just keeping my eyes closed so that I don't get distracted by other things. But this time with the meditation, the guided meditation, it was so easy. My body was relaxed and I was able to, I felt that my mind was not wandering, was not agitated going, because still it did go a couple of times, but it was easy for me to bring it back. And I did feel that the gap of, there was, usually I feel that when I'm chanting, I'm crying in the wilderness. I'm chanting the holy name, but I don't know where I am, what's happening. But the meditation of seeing our favorite deity in front of us and chanting, there was a specific closeness to the chanting. I felt that the gap was reduced, and I'm very inspired to continue this meditation.
We'll carry on. We'll just carry on. It's fine. The schedule was, this was go at the end, but I wanted to put it in this sequence for several reasons. One is, I've already stated, but I'll repeat, it's how to take resources like Shikshastakam or our deity worship or our teachers or the focus that we have for our spiritual development is the holy name. To not lose focus from the holy name while taking other resources. Not only when we're not chanting, but when we're chanting. So that we can go to the next level of chanting, or go more deeply into the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Specifically, Shikshastakam is there to help us do that. It's given by Mahaprabhu to guide us in the stages of chanting Krishna's holy name, up to the stage of perfection. If we, it's like a nice map, and it's not difficult to read the map. It's the difficulty is absorbing ourselves while chanting the holy name, so it's not a disconnect between what we know and what we're experiencing. And each of the successive stages in chanting has the same principle at a different stage. Consciousness becomes more evolved. The instrument of the mind is still needed. The intelligence directing the mind is still needed. The stage of consciousness is still needed, but more evolved. And so the task becomes more subtle, or a further stage of doing the same thing that we do at the earlier stage. So we want to go to wherever we are, to the next stage. This principle is very helpful. It's essential. And another reason I wanted to put it here was the alignment chart we have over here. We spoke about it, but you know, it's necessary that we align our what the body's doing, what the mind is doing, what the heart is doing, to enter into that very sacred place, to be with Radha and Krishna in the form of the holy name. So the first verse of Shikshastakam, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is it's establishing the glories of the holy name, but it's when it's completed, that stage is chant with faith. And when you chant with faith, it carries you into the next stage, which is anartha nivritti stage. So within the limited time, this is such a nice and very deep subject, but we'll move right along. Nam namakari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatrapita niyamatak smarane nakala etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisha mahajani nanuraga. That second verse of Shikshastakam, it's it's on the one hand, it's an exaltation. How fortunate we are. And here are ways in which we're so fortunate. Krishna has made himself so easily available through numberless of his transcendental names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. Prabhupada has rendered this. And in each and every one of those names, he has invested all of his transcendental potencies. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. How merciful is the Lord. Tava kripa bhagavan mamapi. But then there's the tension, the antithesis. Durdaivam. Idrisha mahajani nararaga. I don't have any attraction. Raga and anuraga. Attraction and no attraction. No attraction. Anartha nirvritti is recognizing the good fortune that we receive, but the ill fortune that we have, that we don't have attraction to the good fortune that we received. And there's this gap. And we'll stay in that stuck space until we, if you recall from the first day, I was using this, I was thinking about it some more also, liminal space taken from, I guess it's a Latin word, limen, that means threshold. So you're, if you're on the threshold, it's like, again, you're outside the temple room, you're at the threshold of the temple room, and you're in the temple room. If you just stand at the threshold, Krishna's inviting. And we're standing at the threshold. So there's this space called liminal space. And we're neither here nor there. We're here, but we want to be there. So you cross the threshold to go into that space where you want to be. You enter that liminal space. You move from where you are to the next stage of approaching Krishna's holy name. And there's this gap between how merciful and how unreceptive we are to that mercy. Anartanavritti is recognizing as we go along in our practice of devotional service, I think all the devotees can attest to the following. Before we engaged in devotional service, we had no idea how impure our hearts were until we started practicing devotional service, and then, oh my God, look at how dirty that heart is. And I clear away some of it, and then there's, oh my God, there's all this other stuff. I didn't even know that that was there. And then there's more, and then there's more, and there's, oh my God. Close that box. I'm going to get out of here. But keep going. And there's this tension in Anartanavritti. The tension should not go to the contamination. Anartanavritti is not crossed over by becoming anartha conscious, but by becoming Krishna conscious. The mercy and becoming more and more eager to receive the mercy. And while we're in that cleansing, the Anartanavritti stage, we may find ourselves acting improperly. Like, you know, ways that people do all the time, we just, now we're aware of, we're acting improperly. We're not behaving nicely. We're speaking in ways and acting in ways that's just embarrassing, is unbecoming. But we do it. Go behind that. Why do we do that? There's a within our hearts, there's this, some break in our relationship with Krishna. There's some dissatisfaction that we have with ourselves in our relationship with Krishna. Like, in our chanting, but in our relationship with Krishna. And so, we do things just like children will do when they're, you know, they're unhappy. They'll misbehave. And we have our adult misbehaviors. We fault find and we exhibit anger and, you know, we do things that are like, you know, like a kid throwing a tantrum or something. It's because this, we're not connected with our relationship with Krishna, and we want to be. We recognize the mercy. So this is Anartanavritti. We recognize that we're recipients of mercy, but we're not, or we're unfortunate. We don't have attraction for that mercy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes this word durdaivam, this how unfortunate I am, it's our offenses. Because we're offensive towards the holy name, we're committing offenses against the holy name, which means against the devotees, against the name, against the scriptures, against the spiritual master, against all things that are the mercy, we're offensive towards it, unfortunately. That's our misfortune. And so, anartha vritti is crossed by overcoming offenses against the chanting of the holy name. We'll do, this is directly borrowed from Borijan Prabhu and his tips on chanting. He gives four of them. We're just going to touch on one of them. His recommendation, from his personal experience and others that have applied it, have found it to be so, that the chanting of the holy name is something that you do one mantra at a time. And one of the root of all offenses is inattentiveness. And there's a guaranteed way to be inattentive. Think about what you were doing in the past, or worry about what you're going to do in the future, and don't be present. Or the other way around. If you want to avoid inattentiveness, be present. Even for a moment. Take a risk. Be present. Be present. Go ahead. Try it. Like, you know, there was a billboard going through from the Holland Tunnel into New Jersey. A big billboard with big bold letters. Commit a random act of kindness. Once, you know, what's the heck? Yes, well, just do one, you know. A random act of kindness. Commit, not, you know, commit, not perform, but commit, like, you know, commit a crime. Commit a random act of kindness. Just once, be present with Krishna. Because that experience of being, even once, this is Bhagavatam, even a moment of transcendental consciousness compared to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes of standing as a tree. Better one moment of pure consciousness rather than wishing to live a long life or not having that ache or pain in your body or something. That one moment of pure consciousness. Just be present with Krishna. So, anartha nivritti becomes moved forward by hankering for that. That will overcome, that attentiveness will overcome offenses. One has to want. This is advancing in Krishna consciousness and or advancing in the stages of chanting. Wanting that relationship with the holy name to be your experience. Within, at least move a little bit towards being present with Krishna in the form of the holy name. So, Burijan's way of reducing it to a very simple practice is one mantra at a time. Like when I was in my first introduction to chanting Hare Krishna wasn't through the Hare Krishna movement. It was through a fellow who was formerly a Harvard professor who went on a spiritual quest and became an impersonalist. But he was chanting Hare Krishna. And he wrote a book, Be Here Now. Like, whoa, what does that mean? Be here now. That's profound. Mother Queenie, you remember that book? Oh, yeah. So, it has its application with chanting Hare Krishna. You know, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, be present. Not pass. And don't go, the chatter of the mind. What I could have said, should have said, would have said, how come this, and then, you know, the anxiety, what's coming up, and processing, and all of that. Just be present with Krishna's holy name. One mantra at a time. Prabhupada told Jadarani this, that when you chant, 16 rounds, we have 25,000 opportunities for perfection. Because in each of the names that you say, if you just can say one name of Krishna without offense, you'll achieve perfection. Just one name out of 25,000. That's a reasonable odds. Just be present even once. But you have to practice being present, because we're practicing. We have this, you know, problem in our relationship with Krishna. And because of that deep dissatisfaction that we have with ourselves, it's not just with Krishna, it's with ourselves. We're disconnected with Krishna. Then all bad things come. And Narada Nivritti is correct that problem by connect with Krishna. So let's take 3 minutes, and we're going to do this like very difficult exercise of one mantra at a time. And we're going to make it really simple. We'll just chant 3 mantras and see if you can be present with one of those 3 mantras. But don't worry about the second and the third one. And don't lament that I didn't do it the first one. Now I'm on the second one. And so forth. We'll chant together. And the effort is one mantra at a time. And you know, if you can break it down, one name at a time. Like we did with this tantra. Okay, so one mantra at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, that's our 3 mantras. That's our quota. Try it on your 64-round day. That's coming right up, isn't it? It's tomorrow, right? 64-round day tomorrow. Try this part of your chanting tomorrow. See what happens, see how it goes. And you'll, a couple things, especially when you get into that very familiar space that your mouth is going and your mind is somewhere else, don't get in any panic attack, just one mantra at a time. One mantra at a time. It'll help bring you back to the holy name. Second is, it's helpful to avoid offenses against chanting by attentiveness. So one is, you know, checking the negative, the other is doing the positive. I probably should stop and ask for questions, but because I have an idea of where I want to go in the next session, but I'll... I'll just say it very quickly. Shikshastakam 3 is 4 things. Trinadapi, Suniche, Na. There are different... I heard Prabhupada distinctly sing. It's Trinadapi, Suniche, Na, Tror, Api, twice. Sometimes it's Iva. The translation works out the same. Sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So these are qualities, being tolerant, being humble, being respectful towards others without any expectation of respect in return. That's a big one. Big one. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it establishes nishtha, the other side, when one is of anartha nivritti, where nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, where the abhadras are prayeshu, practically zero. There's still something. A metaphor is used by one of our acharyas. It's like the earth where there is some grass. Not, you know, complete lawn, but it's not complete earth either. There's something still there, growing, boop, coming out of the ground. But to where the faith and where the mind and the intelligence and consciousness have become so directed and attracted. Remember this example of pushing and pulling. Attracted. Because faith has become strong, so strong that one has become attracted to chanting. It's nice to chant, not just, oh, I've got to chant. Kirtaniya sadahari, when one is happy to just continuously chant. I remember when Indra started, had the idea to start, he was still in New York, started a 24-hour kirtan program in Vrindavan. Everyone thought, oh, how can you do that? But how many years has it been? How many? 23 years. Kirtaniya sadahari. And through his association, others are, they've, you know, caught the spirit. And they in turn are inviting others, catch the spirit. It's how it works. Through association. Quickly. It's not attainable without humility, this nishtha. And how do you get humility? Which shopping center do you go to buy a case of humility? Humility comes from, going back to our earlier discussion, sincerely, from the heart, applying the process as it's been given to us to achieve what the process is intended to bring to us, and realizing it's on my own, it's not possible. Like, you know, be attentive. Try that one. Be attentive. And you realize, on my own, I'm helpless. Or, you know, positive or negative, you know, overcome anger. On my own, I'm going to overcome anger. Or, you know, not finding fault with others, something that the mind may have a tendency to do. Finding fault. It's my, you know, for some minds it's like, hey, that's fun. Like a kid with a Game Boy or something. Give him any discretionary time and the kid's with his Game Boy, playing the Game Boy. They can do it for hours and hours and hours and hours and never get tired and get another Game Boy and do that one too. So the mind can just do that. Just find fault. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to find fault. The mind wants to go find fault. So how do you overcome that? How do you get to that stage where the anarthas are gone? Let's try to overcome some or try to establish that which the process says to do, and you realize that you're completely dependent. And that's nice. Not bad. It's wanted. And then you reach out. With full dependence, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is Namashraya. This third verse of Shikshastakam. On the one side is what we bring to the holy name. On the other side is the holy name accepting us, giving us shelter. But, you know, if we want it. Like, you know, the sun is shining, but you can stay under a rock. You don't see the sunshine, saying, how come it's dark in here? Namashraya. This is this third stage. And one more time, to move into that realm where these qualities become your qualities. Or the shelter is what you experience. Or nishtha, the stage of struggling with anartas, they're practically gone on the other side. It's these same principles, just as consciousness becomes more elevated, the challenge may be greater, but you're more equipped because consciousness is greater and the mind can become directed. And we know how to take this mercy, Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi, that Mahaprabhu is giving in the form of the pure holy name, and to receive it. Because we want it. We want that relationship with the holy name. So the intelligence is stronger. The mind becomes directed. Consciousness has been nurtured. We can go to the next stage. That's what this japa retreat is intending to help us accomplish. The how it works, and then in the association of one another, all striving, like, you know, Govinda's going and living in Vrindavan with Indra. He wasn't like he is now before he went to live in Vrindavan and become absorbed in the holy name with Indra and his kirtan party. But it's not, that's the only way to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Give up everything, go live in Vrindavan and be in the 24-hour kirtan party. Certainly it's wonderful, but our lives are not a failure if we don't do that. But our life needs to follow these principles and apply them. Go to the next level, each one of us, that liminal space, go there. Don't hesitate. Don't stay with the same habits expecting you have a different outcome. Go to the next stage with these nice instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us to go further. Accept those resources, the deity, the teachings, our teachers, mercy coming in various forms to nurture our taking shelter in the holy name. So, it's 9:30. To keep our schedule, we'll end. And we'll take some more time for questions when it's our next session. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.